because that really doesn't do much for me. With Kansas, you never know. You're right. You never know who's going to step up. You never know who's going to play big. You never know what you're going to experience there. I mean, he's been through the ringer here with Oklahoma before. I guess I'm missing that. If there's a question or a context of something about that, but he's right. I mean, did anybody have Trey White stepping up last night? Like, I don't think even Kelvin Sampson knew who Trey White was. You know, like, where'd this guy come from? Or Tiller stepping up big in that game last night? So I'd like to hear more context of that to kind of understand, you know, what he was talking about.
I think it's also just the thing of you look at, you know, where the slight undertones come from. So I think there's also maybe some of that because, you know, why are they letting Darren Peterson know that? Maybe we'll figure some more out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying with the question. Like, was the question asked, like, what do you think of Darren Peterson? What do you think? Because somebody did go back to Darren Peterson. Did they take, like, if I was sitting in that press conference and he said that and the question was, what do you think about tonight's game? He goes, with Kansas, I never would have thought to make that Darren Peterson connection at all. Now, maybe that's just me, but I never would have thought to make that Darren Peterson connection. Fair. That's why I want to know, like, what's the question about Darren Peterson?
Yeah, I'll have to find the press conference and see if I can get
context is everything course, with these always. Things too. Was that edited pre on X before, or did you put that together? Because if that, you know, like, because Darren Peterson walking to the huddle picture, like, there are a lot of people that are taking this Darren Peterson stuff to the next level too. So,
Kelvin Sampson also talking about the schedule. Everyone else in the Big 12, he's like, think about it. We won this league 2 years in a row, and now everyone else gets a big Monday home game except Houston.
Oh, God. What? I didn't know Houston had a home court advantage. Like, seriously, like, where do people want to go watch college basketball games? It's Lawrence, Kansas. I've never heard somebody say, damn, my dream bucket list is going to Houston to watch Houston. The Cougs play. I mean, I was looking at
Boog Shambi.
Yeah, Boog with the Cougs. Yeah. But I'm watching, you know, the reporters or whoever, you know, everybody who goes to Allen Fieldhouse for the first time has like a religious experience, as they should. That's why it's on Big Monday, Kelvin. I mean, you see the atmosphere at these plays, at these games at Allen Fieldhouse? Like, what a dumbass comment that is. We didn't get a home game. Yeah, you ain't rocking it out like AF, brother.
Rocking it out?
Yeah.
Like AF, brother.
Ain't even close.
Look at these coaches, man.
Albert Franks just over here rocking
That's
it
right.
out.
That's right. You better believe it.
Get bent, Kelvin.
Jeez.
First off, your name's get Kelvin. Bent. Not Calvin.
Yeah, Kelvin.
Kelvin.
Yeah.
Where's Hobbs? I think that's Calvin.
That's Calvin.
All right. Either way, that Calvin or Hobbs, whatever, is pissing on Houston today if you're a KU fan. Hey, I get Mizzou in points tonight. I get points.
You get points? Okay, what's the
I think
the points?
They're 3.5 underdogs. And
I'll give you the points.
In Columbia, they're a different dog at home. I just want to warn you.
All right, here we go.
More dogs, not cats. Meow. We need more dogs.
We need dogs. I miss that audio.
Where is that guy now? You know where that guy is? I just looked him up. He's like died. A high school athletic director or something like that. I couldn't tell you what his name was or even what school that was. Coastal Carolina.
Mm-hmm. You nailed it.
Tennessee 4.5, depending on where you look.
Okay. Love that. That's for breakfast on Friday. We dive more into what other people have to say because this guy never talks college basketball. I want to emphasize this. This guy never talks college basketball because the person who told me that listens to him every day. Here on 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
Every Hardee's is closed.
Well, that's done.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
Back at it Tuesday morning. Hey, man. I feel like it's semi-big tonight
Men's
between
penis.
Mizzou and Tennessee. I just want to get that out there.
Okay.
I think you'll be surprised. Tigers at home, different animal. Tigers on the road,
yeah.
Yeah, big time.
Fair enough.
Denny Gates,
yeah.
Suit, hands on hips.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
how you know you're screwed.
Oh, that's how you know it's serious.
Slick. But last night, KU victorious by 13, I believe, was the total against Houston. At one point, it was like 20 points. And, you know, obviously the game came down to it. Houston goes 5 minutes without scoring at one point. And we have seen so many different variations of what this KU team is. Bill Self saying last night on his ESPN interview, you know, with all the games Darren Peterson has missed, it's kind of forced this team to grow up kind of like together, I guess you could say. But grow up is what he said, and or grow. And it is true, and I think that's why last night I stand by it. I believe Bill Self should win Coach of the Year. I know people will say, well, that Cincinnati loss is tough. Yeah, but I mean, also, if you're going to do that, then I think that you should also throw in the factor that you took a team from the worst loss under your watch that's ever happened and immediately turned it around as if it never happened. Right. I think that also has to go into effect, which in my opinion would cancel those things out. The fact he's coaching essentially two different teams, putting up with the Darren Peterson drama, understanding what everybody's saying, and then still going out there night in and night out and sticking up for your kids or your guys. That's impressive to me. And I know that Dusty May is doing a great job. I know that,
who?
Dusty May, he's the coach at Michigan.
Okay.
And then you have, John Shire over at Duke, who's got the number one team in the country. But I mean, it's Duke, it's the ACC. Is it as tough as the Big 12 or is it as tough
as? I don't know. ACC's pretty good league. People would say that, well, it's Bill, it's like the Andy Reid argument, you know? Well, it's what he does. He always wins 80%.
Yeah, but I would say if Andy Reid, I would say if Andy Reid, like, did this sort of thing next year, like where he goes 6-11 and then all of a sudden next the season after that goes 11-6 and kind of debunks a lot of what people think are the Chiefs currently, I think that would give him kind of that unbiased look, right? I think it's every year he's always plus 5,000 or more because every year the Chiefs are 12-5 or they're, you know, whatever their record may be. And now they've gone from 6-11 to quarterback has an ACL injury and your tight end is 1 year older and you now brought Eric Bieniemy back and your win total is
10.5.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I do think that where Kansas is and what they have done is tremendous, and it all goes to the credit of Bill Self. But the one thing that's been the story all year long is the inconsistency and the consistent conversations involving Darren Peterson. And Darren Peterson, I said already this morning, sat down with an ESPN reporter and talked about, you know, I love basketball. I this is my life. This is what I want to do. If I could be out there, I'm just paraphrasing. He basically said, if I could be out there all the time, I would. But, you know, I can't help what's happening. And I trust me, ball is my life. And Bill Simmons, a guy who never talks about college basketball because he loves the NBA that much. And he, like Colin Cowherd, I think have both been on the record as saying, like, we don't talk college basketball because we're not trying to bore you.
Right, exactly.
That's what they say. Obviously, these guys are national top radio guys. They're going to talk, you know.
You talk about what sports fans are talking about. Regular season college basketball isn't. Darren Peterson, however,
And this is what he said about where he would draft Darren Peterson.
I'm not sure Darren Peterson is going to go first anymore, which I would have bet anything on 2 months ago. But there's just too much weirdness with this Kansas thing, with him coming out of games and the cramping and the competitiveness. And unless he's actually hurt, which is now a new theory, I think teams value competitiveness too much. It's the number one thing we've learned about the NBA in the last 15 years is, you know what it's a good idea to have? Competitive guys. And I think this has just gotten too weird with the Kansas thing. And I think there might be better picks.
I will tell you this. I had so many Darren Peterson conversations. And I remember talking to various people being like, what? He just took himself out of the game? And because I hadn't seen it. They're like, yeah, he literally pointed to Bill Self. I was like, I'm out. That's it. And no one knows what to make of it.
I don't like it. I don't understand it. And it gives me Ben Simmons flashbacks to the OSU thing when he was just like, I'm out. And didn't care if they even made the NIT or whatever he did. Now, I hope that he actually has some physical stuff going on that he's afraid to make worse would be my hope. It's where DeBansa just becomes an easier pick because ultimately you just made the key point. You're talking about guys who are going to get fired if they get this pick wrong. And that's when you just gravitate toward, you know, this guy, he's 6'8", perfect body. Worst case scenario is going to be a better Andrew Wiggins. This is a safer bet. I'm just going to take this guy.
Yeah, that's interesting with the Ben Simmons comp because I remember when the Ben Simmons stuff was going on. And you know,
LSU, baby.
I mean, we were destroying Ben Simmons. Like, does this guy, you know, love the game? Competitiveness in the NBA coming from a league that praises load management? Like, wouldn't use the competitiveness term there as he did.
He's talking about drafting players. Yeah, finding guys who give a rip.
Yeah,
who are competitive.
And then on one hand, you may say that, but on the other hand, like, I'm not playing today. You know, the competitiveness
that's more perception than reality.
Yeah, it is. But again, you got to change my perception as much as anybody.
But I'm just telling you the reality. That's not the case. What Bill's saying is true. But
Well, some of it is and some of it isn't. I mean, I will disagree with the competitiveness. I think if you're a competitor, you're out there every single day. You're busting your ass. But here's the thing with me with all of this, with Darren Peterson, It's very reminiscent to the stadium vote 2 years ago. Terrible job by the Royals with their PR. Just awful. Just a terrible way to kind of put that out there. They let the negative side take control and run with the banner and control the narrative of everything that went on. The Royals did an awful job with the PR of their stadium the first go around. In fact, they've done an awful job with PR the entire time they've been doing their stadium. They've let narratives get out there. They never got in front of anything. It's been a miserable experience for everybody, I think. And that's what this Darren Peterson is, too. Had they just gotten out in front of this at the beginning and instead trying to hide things, because that's what sports teams try to do. That's what all powerful people try to do, right? They try to hide things. Oh, we'll never get caught. Nobody will ever look. Nobody will ever figure it out. And then you get to a point where, oh boy, everybody's asking questions. Everybody's figuring it out. Everybody's got, you know, what they think is going on. I don't understand. I guess it's arrogance. These sports teams that don't get in front of this stuff right away. If Darren Peterson was banged up and injured, then say that. Because I think if you said that Darren Peterson is battling cramps, to me, as an NBA team, I would look at that and go, we got the best people in the world. We'll figure this out. But it's gotten to the point where people are questioning his love for the game. Does he have a desire to play? Does he ever want to be in there? And this thing has gotten so out of hand that with a simple PR, you know, stunt at the beginning, Kansas and Darren Peterson could have all gotten ahead of this and said, look, I'm dealing with cramps. I've never dealt with these before. I don't know what this is like. This is something I've never experienced. But they didn't do that. And they let the narrative go. And the longer they let the narrative go, the narrative picked up steam and everybody created their own narrative because they never shut this narrative off at the beginning. They never controlled the narrative. And when teams and powerful people don't control the narrative, then you're left to what the narrative becomes in the general public. And that's what the general public decided was with Darren Peterson. Didn't love the game, doesn't want to play, taking himself out. Because nobody would ever tell us what was going on. So we were all forced to make our own conclusions on that. And when people say they don't like that, tough. You allowed us and forced us all to make our own conclusions and comments about Darren Peterson or anything for that matter.
Yeah, so to go back to Bill Simmons' comments, because there is a level of competitiveness in the NBA that is unmatched. There really is. Like, I watched Wemby do it in the All-Star game highlights. Like, when he was ready to play defense, that's like something that shows me that these players want to play in this league because they represent the N, the B, and the A. Like, and the logo. Like, that's what they play for. And that is a serious concern, which is why he's explaining, like, the competitiveness of if this guy wants to get here and actually be one of these members, not the people that are, you know, making it a false profit for people like you that just say the whole NBA is this and everybody's, that's not the case. The NBA is not that. The NBA is a bunch of guys that do that, but there is a ton of guys that actually give a rip and go out there every night and they want to beat the other guy face to face because I don't know if there's a better sport to be more egotistical in than the NBA. When you can go one-on-one, like if you would have watched Peyton Pritchard do that step back on the Lakers last night, the guy he did it on knew he was busted, knew he was broken, got up and just smiled. Like, what am I going to do? This guy broke my absolute soul and then hit a three before staring at me. That screams competitiveness. Does Darren Peterson have that? And I think that's where the conversation really begins to gain momentum because I have been on the side of the fence where he's literally doing all of this to become what he thinks he can be. And I don't think we can play on both sides of the yard if we're like, well, he might do this in the NBA. Well, you realize he's doing this to get to the NBA. Because once you get to the top level of your field, what's next? Like, there is no above the NBA. The NBA is the top, and he's not there yet. So some of this stuff has happened. And to the people that, you know, are mad that we didn't get a lot of information when we didn't get it and that we just got it, be happy that you actually understand now more than you ever did. And now you can go back and look at these people and be like, yeah, this whole thing that your theory was, yeah, sorry. Hey, Clark, your idea of this about Darren Peterson, yeah, no. Because he spoke, he sat down, and the whole year he's put that stuff on his legs. And I get it. We want answers immediately. But, like, I don't understand, like, why he owes that to you. If you don't trust the guy that you've never met, who's never given you any reason to not be trusted, yet that's an issue on you to be like, well, I just don't like this guy. Tell me why. Well, he doesn't show heart and desire. How do you know that? Have you talked to him? Have you heard from him? Have you seen? And that's why the situation's murky.
Yeah.
Because there is, to your point, a level that you get to where you got to say something.
Well, don't you? Like, if somebody was slandering you in public like this all the time, wouldn't you want to get out there and defend yourself and say, this is not me?
Right.
Guys, I set the record straight. Like, if I was Darren Peterson or anybody in his camp, I would have set this record straight a long time ago, not on February 23rd when they finally spoke to ESPN, because, guys, this is a narrative that's been going on since before the holidays. Everybody's been talking about, you know, Darren Peterson and the situation there. And if I'm him personally and I'm hearing all of this, I got to defend my character on this stuff.
And I think you finally did. I think you finally had enough of it, because a total team loss against Cincinnati that was the lowest this team had ever been was all put on him. It was not put on anybody else.
Was unfair.
And so he finally was like, all right, we talked about it yesterday. Is this the straw that breaks the camel's back? We use that as an analogy of things. And that yesterday was enough, because before the biggest game, because this game, this wasn't Arizona, but it was paper thin close to the importance of Arizona because of what had happened Saturday.
Sure.
If KU loses this game, boy, oh boy, nothing he said mattered. But KU won that game, and he wasn't the reason they won that game, and he wasn't the reason they lost that game, but he was what everybody else was in that game, and everybody played together as a unit. So all of that said, I think there is a level to agree on the full circle of the conversation that Darren Peterson at some point, maybe 2 weeks ago, could have came out. Like, after the flu game.
Yeah.
Might have been the moment to be like, all right, here's the deal. I've got records. My buddy took my temperature. It was this, this, and this. If you have an issue with it, I'm here to answer everything. Also, he doesn't have to do that.
No, you're right. He doesn't have to, but the human side of me would want to do that.
Because,
you know, would want to do that, would want to set the record
because
straight.
The confusion level I have on this situation that other people seem to have is what we just experienced in the football season when Josh Simmons went away for 5 weeks and nobody knew.
Right.
And everyone's like, well, what's he going to say? What's he going to say? Why does it matter to you? Because you want to know?
There's a lot more venom towards Darren Peterson than there ever was towards Josh Simmons, I think, anyway. I think that the topic of conversation with Darren Peterson, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like it's 100 times more than we had with Josh Simmons. And because Darren Peterson is a star player, had Josh Simmons been a quarterback or, you know, something like that.
Sub-story versus main story.
Darren Peterson is the main story in college basketball right now, and there's nothing anybody can debunk and say differently. He is the number one story. I still don't understand, though, where we are. And he didn't really let us in on anything, you know, over the interviews that he's done and the stuff that he said. I mean, he was very kind of generic about that as well. And, you know, now everybody's reading into his dad's post that he put on Instagram. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And it's a picture of Darren Peterson in a McDonald's All-American uniform, not a Kansas uniform. So people are starting to look into that. Did he do this on purpose? Is this a shot at KU?
And, oh, so now he actually talked and it's not enough?
Yeah. Well,
he asked him if he loved basketball. He said, I love the game.
Yeah. But
they asked him why he's not playing. He goes, I wish he could be out there. I don't know. I'll tell you this, it'll never be enough.
No, but I think we all want the answer. Like, if you can't be out there, tell us what's wrong, man. Like, what's going on? Like, why aren't you out there? That's all. I mean, I think it's gotten to that point where I personally, as a human being, would want to let everybody know what was going on with me. If I was an athlete and all these narratives were out there, I would love to set the record straight. Guys, I've got cramping that I've never dealt with in my entire life. I don't understand why it's happening. I don't know what I need to do. I don't know how to get through this. It's never been something.
Bad. This is bad. And he should not say those things.
Well, but
if I'm an NBA team, I'm like, okay, that's scary.
But I'd rather have that than a guy who has the perception
as
of not
a fan,
loving
I can agree.
The
yeah.
game.
I agree.
And that's where I am. I'm coming from that perspective.
I get that.
Because at least with injuries, you can say, damn, man. Because injuries have cost a lot of guys' careers. Like, you look around, and you're like, damn. Just Greg Oden, for example. It's the easiest one. It's the lowest hanging fruit. Like, injury stole that guy's entire career, right? Mike Trout probably had a lot of his career stolen by injuries.
Yeah.
You know, all these guys that you see over the years, you wonder where they went. Damn, injuries took all that away. And maybe he's going to be one of those guys that just can't get through the injuries. But I'd rather have something like that and know than have everybody wondering about my love and my desire for the game and the way that I play. Because when he plays, guys, I told you, I've never seen anybody like it before. He's just fantastic on the floor. That's why I would let everybody know I'm battling through cramps I just can't get over right now.
So I had a hypothetical last night. I said this to Mac, and I told you this morning, Caleb Wilson, the forward slash guard for North Carolina, who has injured his wrist or hand somewhere in that area, I believe. They haven't said this is the case, but I think it's from dunking because he leads college basketball in dunks.
How many does he have?
Like 68 to 70.
Oh, my God. That's wild. That's 2-3 a game.
Yeah, dude.
That's a lot.
The last I saw the graphic, it said 67.
Mac, when you dunk, you know how hard that rim is.
Oh, of course. Yeah, it hurts every time.
Every time you get up there, right?
And I was watching
dunk a volleyball in high school.
And I was watching, that's sick. I was watching North Carolina and Louisville last night because I had a little skin on it. Took North Carolina at home. How dare you make them the favorites at home or the underdogs at home in Carolina?
Carolina and Kansas were both underdogs at home last night.
I had some people last night on Twitter that said they money lined both in a parlay.
That's fantastic.
Oh, great.
Two of the top venues, top programs, both underdogs on Big Monday.
And what do we say about college basketball? The biggest advantage is
home court advantage.
So thanks, Vegas, for the free money last night. Oh, yeah. I mean, Hawk Dot was all over KU last night.
I'm sure he was. Was Carolina Dot all over it too?
Oh, yeah. He said, well, he was upset that Vegas was giving out free money because he thought it was his steal with being underdogs at home for KU. But Caleb Wilson, he's injured. And they were talking in the North Carolina game, that dream situation for him to come back would be the game against Duke to wrap up the ACC.
Which is like next weekend.
Yeah. I think it's
three games.
Yeah, I think it's a week from this Saturday. I think it is the last game in the ACC schedule. They were like, perfect scenario, he's back for the Duke game. Best case scenario, he's ready to go for the ACC tournament. What if Caleb Wilson came out and said, you know what, I think I'm going to shut down for the rest of the year and be ready for the NBA draft? What would the perspective be?
It would be horrible, I think.
I think people would lose their mind. The same energy that Darren Peterson would get?
Yeah, because Darren's already laid the groundwork. They would take it to the next level and go, see, here's another athlete doing it. We've got to find a way to curtail this. And it would become, I think, an even bigger talking point. How many more guys are going to decide to do this and shut their season down. Yeah,
you.
I know. I mean, like from my standpoint where I sit, if he decided to do that, you're playing for the NBA. I mean, it's what you got to do. You got to make sure, you know, you're healthy, you know, for the league. You don't want to go have a busted hand because you're out there playing basketball, you know, at college, just biding time.
Sure.
Now the North Carolina fan, that's similar to the, you know, the Kansas sweater knitter out in Topeka making cookies for the guys. They'll lose their mind. I can't believe the sanctity of Carolina basketball.
I need to look it up, what Cooper Flagg hurt last year before the tournament started and what he's hurt this year.
Yeah, I have to look it up. I don't know.
It's an ankle or a foot injury of some sort, I believe. But I don't know if they're related. Yeah. I'm interested to know because I don't even know what I'm talking about at this point. But I think they are.
What the hell was
coming
that?
Coming up next, we get into our Tough Tuesdays. Hell, I might nominate myself. Here on 96.5 The Fan, you're on with Kansas City Sports.
This is Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. And you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Back at it Tuesday morning. For some, it's a nice Tuesday. For others, it's a tough Tuesday. For those of you that missed the news yesterday, Mike Dana was released by the Kansas City Chiefs.
Talk to you later.
See ya.
He even got like a tribute video. I thought that was kind of cool. They did that at least. I haven't seen that for...
He got a whole video, really?
I'm pretty sure.
I saw on Twitter a picture of Mike Dana. But
Mike Dana, Kansas City Chiefs, number 51.
I loved him 2 years ago. He was a no-show last year. He was a good football player, right? Really good football player. And then, you know what happened? Same thing that happens to everybody. Got old real fast, and the game kind of just, you know, passed him by. He was a non-factor last year, guys. Do you remember a Mike Dana moment, really? Like, maybe in the first game of the year I remember hearing his name, but there wasn't much after that, man. I was really a big fan of his. I was glad he got paid. It was the right move at the time. But his career just quickly dissipated, and it was over before the blink of an eye here in Kansas City.
Yeah, we could probably argue whether it was a right move, but how many solo tackles do you think he had this year?
None.
I'm going to go a little bit higher and say like 12.
Eight.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a half a game, basically.
Yes.
You know?
One
sack.
God. Yeah. Literally, yeah. One sack, zero forced fumbles, zero fumbles recovered, one sack. He was a no-show.
Yeah.
And he was on the field.
I know. I mean, he was a total no-show this past year.
Unfortunately.
So
Why was he playing?
They rewarded him, gave him some money for doing a good job for a couple of years.
Seems like a good guy, too.
You know, pay him for kind of the stuff that he did, reward him. Yeah, absolutely right about that, Mac, too. I've never met Mike Dana in my life, but I agree with you. I feel like he was just a good dude.
And every press conference, I was like, this seems like a funny, nice guy.
Yeah, but it was the right move. Yeah, maybe.
Somebody will take a flyer on
depth guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe he doesn't make a team coming out of camp, or who knows.
How quickly will we see him sign with another team, and then he'll make a tackle against the Chiefs, and we'll get old friend
don't.
Alert.
Yeah,
because we got it with Andrew Wiley.
Yeah,
I good, look for that. Him,
hey, good for him.
Yeah, Andrew
could
Wiley
could use him right about now.
Absolutely,
right tackle.
Absolutely, you could use him.
We got Jalen Moore. We're good.
You could have used him years ago, though.
Exactly. But,
I mean, like,
is Jalen Moore a good right tackle though?
I think so.
I think he is. Yeah,
I saw something about how he was giving up pressures on the right side as opposed to Juwan Taylor.
Oh, okay.
Whereas Juwan Taylor's issue was can't get lined up and always making frustrating penalties, whereas Jalen Moore was allowing more pressures on the right side. Could be a good left tackle, left guard. Maybe the right side's not his strong side.
Maybe
that's where Esipole takes a shot.
Yeah, but he's your starting tackle right now, unless Esipole beats him out or something like that. But their plan is for Jalen Moore to be that right tackle and to be the guy that starts alongside, you know, Trey Smith. It's interesting because how much of that was Patrick Mahomes getting out of the block early, you know, and it's hard to judge the offensive line from my standpoint. I'd like to see Patrick stay in the pocket a little bit longer and have some semblance of a running game before we can truly judge the offensive line. But something did seem off last year. Maybe we'll get that figured out. Maybe what seemed off was the fact that everybody knew the play on the other team, and so they didn't stand a chance up front to get that job done. But I also think, and Mac, you may agree, I think people may miss Juwan Taylor this year. I think the first time Jalen Moore, you know, messes up on that right side and gives up a sack, people are going to be screaming about where was Juwan Taylor. Juwan Taylor was a good football player. He just didn't know how to follow the rules of playing football, you know? So
but once that play started, he was damn good.
He was damn good. He was basically a shutdown right tackle, you know, once the play started. Before the play.
About a zero before the play.
Yes, kind of puts you in bad situations, yes. But that's why Andy kept playing him and playing him and playing him, because he's a damn good,
football player. Yeah.
But eventually all that other stuff just outweighs the good football player, you know?
All right, today on Tough Tuesday, we start at the bottom, we end at the top. Bob, you're on the bottom, and I'll finish this whole conversation up, so go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to start, and I'm going to say Tough Tuesday is Houston basketball right now.
That was mine last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because the three-game stretch that was coming up, and how did it end?
0-3.
There you go.
You know, 0-3. And the teams that they're losing to are like all of the good teams. They have a ranked win over Arkansas back in like November. They lost to ranked Tennessee. They beat a ranked Texas Tech team. Then they lost to ranked Texas Tech. Then they lost Iowa State, Arizona, and Kansas. When they get into these battles against these big teams, Houston doesn't win. And if you're going to win in the postseason and be an NCAA tournament team, you got to beat some of these teams. On the flip side, for all of the folks who had Houston ending a two-game losing streak last night and beating Kansas,
get bent.
Kansas has beaten Arizona, Iowa State, Texas Tech, BYU, Tennessee, Houston.
I know that I'm hard.
Those are all top five, top 10 teams. Kansas beats those teams. Houston does not. And so Houston, to me right now, kind of a product of their schedule. They'll win three straight to finish it out against Baylor and Colorado and whoever else I said was on that schedule to finish this thing out for the Houston Oklahoma State. And people feel good about them going into Kansas City. But I think they're kind of a paper tiger. They beat the teams they're supposed to beat, and they lose to the teams that are as good or better than them.
And the flip side of that conversation would be like, what's Kansas away from Allen Fieldhouse?
Yeah, got some questions, right? Yeah, who are you away from your crowd? Yeah, absolutely.
Which they've lost to Cincinnati and UConn at home.
Yeah, they've got, what, seven losses? Two have been at home.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll stick with what last night was. Darren Peterson haters. Like, unless you're going to talk about how he wasn't the best on from a shooting perspective last night, fine. But he played within the offense. The offense didn't stop because of him. And I think, Bob, you mentioned it well. I'm excited to see how he keeps getting better against the double team off those ball screens, because he started to improve last week. a little bit better last night. They're going to come up with more plays. And what happens once he becomes even better these next couple of games and passing against the double team? And then other teams are, all right, we're not going to double Darren Peterson. We'll get back to him torching you on one-on-one coverage, right? So yeah. It's going to really be interesting to see how defenses play KU throughout the rest of the season with that sort of little line there. It wasn't his night, but he was able to fit in, and I was really excited about that.
Okay, I got two things to jump on. Number one, if you're waking up this morning disappointed by Darren Peterson's performance last night when Kansas won by 20.
25 points for my bets.
I mean, you're a sad individual. I'm just going to be honest. You're a sad bro, man. Like, if you're waking up this morning, and I'm sure people are.
Of course.
I mean, like, sad individuals if you're mad that Darren Peterson didn't, you know, go 7 of 7.
And well, he should have had 25, and I would have won $75.
And then you said something else that I wanted to kind of jump in there as with Darren Peterson haters.
Played within the offense.
So what happened last night, Trey White's now on tape. So now you've got to guard Trey White.
Guard
it reminds me of what the Chiefs used to do in preseason back in the day, was do stupid things that people would think, uh-oh, now I got to prepare for that. Now all of a sudden you got to prepare for Trey White. You got to get somebody out there because that guy was on fire last night. Should I say white hot? If that's how good he was, right? Oh, so boy. Now you got to worry about him.
Gosh.
6-9 from three. That's pretty damn good.
Damn good.
Real good in college basketball. NBA, that's like, yeah, that's average. But in college basketball, 6-9, like, yeah.
Oh, so tired of you guys' KU homer bias. Can we talk about anything besides KU basketball?
Well, we get paid to talk about them, man.
We get paid to talk about what people are talking about.
All you guys do is talk about KU all morning. Can we talk about anything else? Of course we can. Tough Tuesday is a hockey puck that gets shot any by all Canadian hockey players.
Yeah.
Because there's one guy that is making your Tuesday even more tough, and it's Hellebuck.
Unbelievable game by Hellebuck. He was our best player tonight by a mile. Unbelievable game.
Hellebuck. Saw every puck.
He never dies.
100 shots.
Tough Tuesday.
It's not enough.
At hockey
on the
puck.
Sport.
The Canadian
that
hockey
so
team.
Tough.
He lost.
He's on his head.
To the men and the women.
He's Hellebuck.
For gold.
When we are old.
He didn't lose.
And
he just didn't
told.
Gold.
How we enroll. Olympic gold.
Tough.
We'll talk of you. Golden gold, but one thing needs to be known. Hellebuck, saw every puck. 100 shots is not enough. We own a sport that is so tough. He's on his head, he's Hellebuck.
There's a few nights where on his head was a different verbiage in the basketball world, because there were a couple alley-oops that got dunked on. That is a tough Tuesday. We've got Houston basketball, Darren Peterson haters, and a hockey puck shot by a Canadian hockey team in the Olympics. Last night should have taught you a lot, and his name, Darren Peterson, he spoke to the media and sat down and explained a lot. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Bob Fesco.
I'm surprised nobody punched him in the jaw yet.
And Dusty Likens.
He's a hoe, and I want that known.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.